happen.
Common sightings that they've seen, most common of them would be the headless brother.
Right. And I've always been very suspicious of abandoned shrines that are not cleared away.
That there was a shadowy white figure hanging to the top of his car.
Maybe it's the Hantu Gala who's at Genting trying to get the share of the money.
The sisters came back home and immediately went to look for a temple medium.
Help me! Help me! I'm looking for my other arm!
Oh no!
Oh, oh shit! No.
Is anyone here? What did you find? Burning.
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions is a safe space for anyone who have had a paranormal encounter and want to be able to tell their story to a community who will not ridicule them. Some of us have experienced the unexplainable ourselves, while the rest of us simply enjoy listening to ghost stories. If you or someone you know have had an encounter to share, get in touch with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. This podcast celebrates ghost stories from Malaysia. And joining us for this episode is our Hall of Fame narrator, Linda Hayden, and smooth operator Alvin De Cruz, who will be retelling stories about supernatural incidences on the Malaysian North-South Highway, Port Dickson Bungalow, the Garden of Taman Ang Eng Klang, and the House by the Railroad. I probably got that name wrong. For new listeners, Alvin will be taking you a walk down memory lane of classic Malaysian haunting legends. All this and more on Ghostly Encounters in Malaysia on Supernatural Confessions. Enjoy. Good Friday evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Friday Night Live with us, your sexy host, the Prince of Paranormal, Eugene Tay, and the immortal Jonathan Lim. Okay, let's give thanks to this very special people who will not be, Friday Night Live would not be possible without these Patreons, very generous of them. Thank you so much. We have new names coming in this week as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I owe you guys a end of month newsletter, but bear with me. I was planning something last few days, so the newsletter will be out, I think, latest by Tuesday. Okay, next Tuesday. But let's give thanks to Sentient Entities, Chua Elaine, Alsatian Adrian Chua, Yumiko Grimm, ZP Matt, Queen Lai, Lim Tech Chuan, Achilles Aries, Elwin Sensei, as we mentioned just now, VL, Tessie Chan, Alexa O are the new names this week. Wandering Spirits, we have Karina J, Joel Goh, Deborah Confield, that's Linda Hayden's sister, JK To, Linda Hayden, who will be with us later tonight, Ellie X, Jesslyn N, Jess Neo, Jerry Fs, Bibi Teo, Tay Hak Wee, and Tu Sens, new name in this week. Sichieto, Grace Chai, Kenny Chia, Ron Jack Ong, Kenny Polaris, Nicholas Poir, Elvin Lim, Burke, BA, and Carol Lam. Thank you very much, Patreons. If you're interested to find out more what you can get as a Patreon, go to patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. It's like OnlyFans, nice. But I don't take off my clothes.
Phew. Sigh of relief across the board. 400 sighs of relief. I want to ask a question to Bruns898, who says, from Brunei. My two sisters have started tuning in every Friday, and today they were like busily sharing with all their friends. So say hi, Bruns898, if you are a friend of my sister in Brunei, so that we see if the network is spreading.
I found out that my dad, my father, is watching too.
Oh.
He said, very nice, son. Very nice. Interesting.
Oh, okay,
I got daddy's approval.
Oh, interesting only lah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Never kena my mom. My mom sure will complain. Jim boy, the hair like that? Why the light thing like that? Huh? Why you never shave? Huh? Why the camera make you look fat? My Peranakan mother cannot please.
Insam Yoza has a disturbing question.
What?
He says, Jonathan, in your past life, were you a teddy bear?
Oh.
Well, that depends.
Well, John has no past life. He's an immortal. He just lives forever and ever.
I'm on my first life still, so working on it. Come to Brunei, Miss Kathy says. Oh, that'll be exciting.
Also, as you can see, all the comments are flying up fast and furious. So if we missed your comments, we do apologize for it. However, if you want to get our attention and everyone's attention, there is a way to do it. You see a dollar sign below. You can click on it, put any amount that you know would love to bless us with, and leave your comments there, and it will pop up in a nice big box where we can see. Or if you just, you know, feeling generous and you enjoy the confessions we have tonight or some of the things that really make you laugh and make your day, well, feel free to click the button as well. Put in any amount you want. Okay? So that all this proceeds actually go to a good cause, because what we're doing with some of the money that we get from you guys is used to plan events. And in this case, you know, our trip tomorrow, part of it is actually funded. So, you know, it would not be possible without you guys.
Spreading the name of SC far and wide.
Speaking of that, later, I tell you.
So many secrets.
Not secrets. Okay. There's so many things to talk about. We won't even get to the confessions. Quickly,
later.
Hong Kong host. What's his channel? Oh my goodness, it's Botak Fella. Very famous one.
Yeah, that helps.
Because he speaks in Cantonese, and he asked me whether I can speak Cantonese. I say, cannot. So I send our Cantonese speaker, Eunice, to speak on our behalf. And so I think he was quite impressed, and he wants to collaborate with SC.
Nice. So, yeah. Thank you, Ewan Kwa, for your blessing. Thank you. Yay.
Okay, lah. Now.
Well, he said great show, leh. So fast, great show, leh. Okay, let's end the show here. Okay.
Let's quit while we are ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Once the confession starts, it all goes downhill. Nah.
Big. Okay. That's the one. Okay, so to help us, give us some background information, Edmund Poon, thank you very much, Ariel. So to help us, give us more urban legends and memories of famous Malaysian horror. Let's welcome a name that we have not called in a very long time. Usually he's behind the scenes running operations, or you'll find that we kind of drag him out into the in front of the camera, and it's not going to be one of our regular hosts along with us, giving you some very interesting insights on the stuff he researched on. Help me welcome the very Eurasian, the very single and somewhat handsome Alvin De Cruz.
And the very smooth.
Very smooth operator.
Hey, welcome, Alvin. Hey guys. Nice to see you guys again.
Take it off.
So, Alvin, we've given you, many months of break to have some love life. How has it been? Give us some updates.
So in Baldur's Gate 3, I'm romancing one of the characters in the game.
Bloody hell.
Nice.
It's going pretty well.
What level are you at? What level is the relationship at?
I don't know. She seems pretty cold, though. I'm not sure how to go in there. We just started hugging, so I think it's a good start.
Yay, we are cheering for you.
We gave you like 6 months off. You still started hugging. I expect a baby on the way, you know.
That's not how it works, Eugene, but okay, never mind.
Okay. Alright, what do you have for us today?
So because of you guys, I'm going to Malaysia pretty soon. So I think I have about four stories.
Okay.
First one is about school, St. Michael's Institution in Ipoh.
Okay.
Second would be the Highland Towers in Selangor.
Classic.
We have Caledonia House in Penang.
That's new.
Probably somewhere you want to go to when you're there.
Another one is
the Karak Highway.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to where you guys will be at. So if you guys want to drop by, take a look, by all means.
Okay. Let's see if we have time. Tell us. So which one you start first? Semikes?
I can start with St. Mike's first. So I'll just give a brief rundown on it. So St. Mike's Institution is a school in Ipoh. It was founded in 1912 by Catholic missionaries when they were around Malaysia. It was also previously used as a headquarters for the Japanese during the World War II. So for all their secret plans, all the kind of tortures took place over there, interrogations and whatnot. There's a story says that there are some sealed tunnels in the school. However, some have denied that there is any there, but you know, people are trying to look for them. Right. And it was also rumored to be a place where the Japanese was torturing the prisoners and storing some of the equipment and food during World War II itself. What led to this suspicion was that there were other tunnels near the area, near the railway stations and the police stations nearby.
Right.
And because of that, you hear rumors of all these tunnels, you know, going around the area. I mean, which is not a surprise because in Singapore, you do have hidden tunnels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Around the area, so which was used during the war. Common sightings that they've seen, most common of them would be the Hitler's brother. Okay, that would be a girl. Okay, I'll jump to that. So,
not shown in picture. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I just start with the Hitler's brother then. So the Hitler's brother, the Hitler's brother, basically, you see this brother walking around the chapel. He would be holding prayer beads. He'll be bleeding from the neck. Then he'll be trying to chant and also ask people, you know, when they see him, I know what you're doing here. I want to talk to you, so and so forth. So if you see some Hitler's dude, you know, coming to you, wanting to have a good chat, I'm not sure you want to hang around for that.
Wow. So, but hang around long enough to find out exactly how he chats without a hit. Nah. Is it like...
Could be like Johnny Depp in Willow, you know? The Hitler's horseman. Yeah.
True. Hollow.
Hollow, yeah.
Creepy Hollow, yeah.
Willow is a different movie. Yeah.
The Hitler's horseman is not Johnny Depp. That's...
A different guy, is it?
Who's that fellow? You know,
Christopher Walken,
no. Yeah.
Yes, Christopher Walken, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay. Johnny Depp's an investigator.
Johnny Depp kept his head, yeah.
Got it.
Johnny Depp's too handsome to be Hitler's in a movie, lah. You know, you hire him for his good looks, like then you take off his head.
That's not true because Leonardo DiCaprio was the man in the Iron Mask.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was.
Okay, so Hitler's brother. Okay,
Hitler's brother. Then the second well-known sighting is the girl in the yellow dress.
Ding.
Yeah. Okay. She'll be wandering along the school corridors at night, and some have said that you can see her during the day, walking around. I don't know how she walks around during classes, but you know, probably during school holidays or during school camps, you might see some little girl, you know, scuttering about.
Just pointed out that all three hosts are wearing glasses.
And someone said we are happy. I'm not saying happy like we are happy or we are gay, you know. And Miss P has been shouting, "Smooth operator."
Ooh, you have a fan.
And thank you very much, Serene, for your blessings as well. Have a safe and smooth journey tomorrow to Malaysia.
Thank you. So YVT is saying, similar story to Victoria Institution. Also have sealed tunnels underground as well as dungeons.
Oh, yo.
Really?
Huh? Dungeons?
Victoria Institution. Okay. This is in Malaysia or this is not
Malaysia or Singapore?
Are you referring to Victoria School or VJC in Singapore? Or do you mean a Victoria Institution in Malaysia? Please let us know. This is YVT. Yeah. Okay. Carry on. Okay. Next location. Come.
All right, the next one is Highland Towers in Selangor.
Oh. I'm sure everybody knows this one.
Yeah, so it collapsed way back in 1993, December. Cause of the collapse was a major landslide from heavy rains. Number of deaths were 48 and only 2 survivors.
Wow.
So some of the contributing factors to its collapse was the soil erosion, and, you know, when there's heavy rain, all that, everything starts to collapse. And one of the foundations under one of the blocks couldn't take it anymore. And then it started collapsing on its own.
Right, okay.
So it took some time for them to look for survivors. And that you only had 2 of them surviving. And 48 were all dead.
What sort of stories there? Sorry, go on.
So there are 2 famous stories there. One is, of course, the typical taxi driver kind of story where he picks up a young woman, you know, in white. And then in the middle of the night, she says, hey, you know, can you drop me off at Hillview?
You got a voice and all that now, you know. This upgraded.
Then the taxi driver, you know, tries to make small talk, you know, like, hey, baby, what are you doing and all that.
That's small talk, huh? Wow.
Okay, watch out.
So that's how so Alvin makes small talk with the girls. No wonder lah.
Hey man, what's your level on the character?
So sorry for interrupting. Alvin, carry
on. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. So he's small talk then.
Yeah. So as the guy is driving, as he gets nearer to the location itself, the woman tells him, "Hey, you know," points to the pavement, says, "Hey, just drop me at the junction." And then when he looks up, he notices that, hey, you know, this place is kind of familiar. It's Highland Towers. Then he felt a bit like, you know, felt a bit ominous around the area. Then he asked her, where exactly are you doing here? It's so dark. Then she replied, my body and my life is here. I died here.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, he starts to panic. He turns back. Then he sees her disappear.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, at least this is an unambiguous ghost.
Yeah, I also don't know who is it. Also, like.
So, Alvin, got a comment on... There's a question in the comment section asking, is that St. Michael's Institute an all-boys school?
Yeah, all-boys school, yeah.
So having a girl in yellow walking down the corridor in midday...
Wow, that'll be distracting.
I don't know. Maybe you should ask them, is that, are there any St. Pat's boys there? Look in the chat.
You know, I would agree with you, John. You know, in a boys' school or an army camp, you can see one woman, even if she's a hantu, walking by, all the boys will get excited first.
Then they'll be making small talk all that.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Hey, baby, where are you going?
Wear your legs.
Alvin, may I suggest, right, that the profession that you should not get into is being a Grab driver, because I think you won't last a day before getting some lawsuit for sexual harassment. I'm just making small talk.
Negative five star. Negative
she's following me home all the time.
Jujube is sharing, my secondary school is supposed to have a headless basketball player. That throws us back to a very, very well-loved short horror film that we enjoyed, I think, in season one of Ghost Mortem.
The basketball hit.
The late night basketball match. Yeah. Which is also from Malaysia. Malaysia has some of the best hantu.
I agree. Okay.
You want to give a second story to this?
Go ahead.
This comes Island. From... No, this same place, Highland Towers. Yeah, so basically a paranormal team, I can't get the name of them, but they actually went over to the Highland Towers itself to take a look. So during the investigations, they found a boy, small boy, just loitering around the area. So, you know, paranormal researchers being paranormal researchers, they went up to the boy and asked, you know, hey, you know, what are you doing here? So the boy turns around and you can see like a half-torn face. Right? A bit like Two-Face from Batman. And then the boy started asking, help me, help me, I'm looking for my other arm. So the guy when he looked at the boy and then heard him, he decided not to stick around any longer.
He didn't give the boy a hand.
I'm not even gonna give you that rim shot because okay, but never mind. Yeah, all right, sure. Okay, at least the Highland Tower ghosts are all very upfront and direct about what they are. So, you know.
I wouldn't say coincidentally, but around the areas, like years after that, there were actually four other collapses. Four other landslides happened, like to some of the other buildings and also some bungalows around the area. So,
wow, okay.
Not sure, bad feng shui, bad juju.
So the current situation of Highland is it a place that people can visit or is there nothing standing now?
The buildings are still there. But I'm not sure whether you can go to it. Maybe some of the Malaysians in the chat.
Yeah, let us know if you've been there recently. Yeah, or has it been sealed off? So we can send Eugene.
Eugene. We got your back.
You need to try that joke on the boy itself, okay? You go and let us know what happens. Boy, can I give you a hand? Wow, I tell you.
Okay, tell you what. Don't say I'm not friendly, okay? I give him face. I help him.
Now, don't even give half a face.
I got to thank Ernest Doe for that dead joke. Alrighty, there's one more location. Terrible. You want to do it now or later?
I can do it later.
Or later,
Okay. Yeah, we will pepper the show with all these like Malaysian haunting updates. Okay,
because now
we do a whole new segment, lah.
Or just like hauntings from the country.
Yeah. Like international hantu news. Wow. Okay? Because after all, since we are now the Ministry of Supernatural Affairs, we have to do our diplomatic relationships across the world.
Speaking
right?
of which,
oh, check it out,
Ministry
everybody.
Of Supernatural Affairs, as logo imagined by David Liu.
Well done, David.
Instead of the tiger and the lion, you have the...
It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress, but it's progressing very nicely. Yeah? See all the different elements.
You have the pochong, you have the Pontianak, you have the SC logo there, the yin yang, the skulls. Para is normal.
I love that slogan. I love that slogan, man.
Instead of having your reef, you have your banana leaf.
I love it. Yeah, that's fantastic. I want it in dark green. Mm.
Okay. Also, David has given us a couple of more 7-month inspired artwork.
Ah. Ooh. Okay, read up. For those of us who are watching on the
Lift
phone.
The 7-month offering alone, they are not for you. And then you see this guy looking excited. Hey, Fuzzy! Because Fuzzy is the dog that he's walking at night. Look! The community cat feeder left out some nice munchies and decorated it with some candles too. And the dog is pulling him away and the cat's like, what?
That guy deserves all he gets.
I'm a huge fan of David's work. He makes the scary looks really hilarious.
So, what's going on here?
This is the other one that is actually inspired by a photographer friend of his, a rather famous photographer. And he says, he shows two screens, right? One is, hey, Mr. So, Tao Ke Tan here. As usual, we love your night photography, but you sent us the wrong pictures. Why you send me these shots with your assistant photobombing one? Then you see the photographer going, assistant? I work alone, eh? What the hell? Hey, why you shouldn't it. Take pictures after dark during 7 months?
We should plan a whole like a single panel cartoon strip. Or like the one shot hauntings. You know what you can tell in one frame. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So
update from Allison. She says, I was in Highland Towers back in 1998. Buildings are still there, but the security is tight. It's situated in a bougie area. So unless you ask permission. Bourgeois. It's a bourgeois area. Unless you ask for permission. Must ask permission from the police. Okay.
Yeah, just pay the policeman 50 ringgit. You can go in already.
Eunice Kwang shares the law. She says it is said to be built on the dragon's back. It moved, so it collapsed.
So it's like a feng shui related thing, I guess.
That is why... We had the the very clever octagon in our $1 coin so that in case the dragon here move, our MRT line all rearrange. Cannot.
So, we got octagon here also, see? Our logo octagon.
Oh, well
we are
done.
Safe.
So everyone must buy this merch, okay? It will save your life.
Buy the badge. Protect you against hantu. Eugene can bless us.
Nice. Blessed by Eugene.
Okay. I want to ask you guys this, right? Is all these places, like the Highland one, is it because it's the hantu, or is it because the Malaysian developer makan duit?
I want to say it's a bit of all of it.
No, I mean, you've got submarine that cannot sing, you got plane that cannot fly, I mean, you got building that cannot stand, I just kind of like,
you also got ship you can never see. Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, I believe. Cut corners here and there.
We are going to Malaysia tomorrow, so we better be nice. you never know. I ordered the nasi kanda, they're going to, this fella, the Singaporean first. I say, your cut corner, is it? Cut corner.
So all your food is kangkang food, okay? Your burger kangkang, fries kangkang, truffle kangkang, all, okay?
All kena
kangkang.
Oh my goodness. I tell you I think for the next part of this segment, we're going to call upon our very special guest for this evening. You recognize her by her voice, if not her face. But before that, let us play a short advert for you guys. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show.
Complete transformation, eh?
Wow! Hey, Eugene, you look different without the spectacles, man. Everyone, this is Linda Hayden. Welcome.
Hey, Linda.
Yay. Hi. Evening all.
Where are you zooming in from right now? You're not far away.
Road.
Wow.
Thompson Road, live in Singapore.
She flew all the way back so she could zoom from Upper Thompson for you all, okay? So please treasure these moments, okay?
She's live in Singapore.
Yeah. So you said that it's been 5 years since you've been back, right? What's it like? What has changed? Or has anything changed?
Oh, my God. Everything's changed. Like, I'm completely lost. You know, you go around like, oh, my God, you know, when they're doing all this digging, completely disorientated. You're always building all these new condos, all these new hotels.
Everywhere's like, new here.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yes. And so I'm feeling like, oh gosh. But then it's, what else is constant in Singapore? It's change.
Yeah.
Well, everywhere. It's 7 months, so the offerings were constant. Did you miss the smell of Hungry Ghost Month when you were in the UK
the
for so long?
You know, it's a special time.
It's a pungent time to come back. Well, Okay. So we're gonna have Linda read some of the confessions for us today, but we will first have Alvin, because he's been missing for so long, so he must pay back. Okay, he must pay back. So he's gonna read. He's gonna read one.
Okay? They wanted me to read all three, but you know, discounted one.
And today Eugene is like totally slacking off. Don't know where he's gone already.
Hey, where's Eugene?
I'm here. You can hear my voice.
Wow.
This is the voice of the voiceless.
Today I swap role with Alvin. I'm going to be behind the scenes and hang out with the guys on the chat, the live chat, while you guys take the show on.
Okay, so this confession. Eugene, you want to introduce the confession?
This one is called The Garden of Taman Ing An Kleng, and it's confessed by our very important anchor and liaison from Malaysia, who has been working very hard behind the scenes to get us tickets for, you know, or not just us, but tie in with a lot of giveaways in Malaysia, setting up the meetup for us, and very nicely offered to pick John and I up at the airport.
Yay.
Yeah, so Eunice has been a very, very valuable and important force in the last couple of weeks, setting a lot of things up. So this is her confession. It's about her home in Taman Ing An in Port Klang. Alvin, take it away.
When we moved to the rented house, there was a Datuk shrine in the garden. My grandmother started worshipping it, and they did all the ritual on Thursdays as an act of respect. She did have a lot of love for my dad. People told her that Datuk can help with finances. One day, my elder sister brought her boss over. This is the sister that I'm extremely close to, and she's many years my senior. She was working as a part-time model then. Her boss saw the Datuk shrine and told my sister it's not that Datuk that's living in the shrine now. It is something very sinister. That thing cannot come into our house because our ancestors are protecting it. My sister, after hearing this, of course, panicked. But the boss said, not worry. He will try to help to clear it. He chose a date and told us to leave the place that day and not to return for a few hours. When we returned, we saw the remains of burnt offerings. He told us the real Datuk left when the previous owners shifted. Something else took residence of the shrine because it needed a home. I remember feeling scared when walking past the shrine, but they dismissed it as I was still a 5-year-old kid. So my instincts was actually quite accurate. Since then, I'm very careful of all these shrines. If the feeling is not good, I will leave immediately. But that house had another incident. In the shrine, there's a mango tree shoot, and it was growing right in front of the Datuk shrine. After the removal of the shrine, There was more space for my grandma to grow vegetables and plants. My grandma and my mom have what we call green thumbs. Whatever they plant will shoot up like crazy. Mom has her orchids and my grandma has her edibles. So grandma plants vegetables and has a curry leaf tree that is so fragrant that neighbors all would come over the leaves. Now this mango tree grew under the care of my grandma. The puny little tree started sprouting branches all over, but never flower and fruit. So one day, grandma took out a meat cleaver, stood in front of the tree and told the tree, "Oi, if you don't start fruiting, I'll chop you off next week." Then pretended to slash it. The next week, the tree started to flower and fruit like crazy. Mind you, these are not normal mangoes. They look like Chinese peaches and will turn pink on the sides that got sunned. The aroma is extremely enticing. Even when eaten raw, it is not sour. Sadly, we had to leave the tree behind when we moved house. And the last time I came by to look at the garden, the tree had already been cleared by the new owner.
Okay, I'm going to shout at all my plants right now with a meat cleaver. that's fantastic, man.
I got to ask Linda, how would you rate that narration?
Oh no.
She's our Hall of Famer narrator. She's senior mentor.
Yeah.
It was very smooth, as he always says. He's a narrator.
Nice one.
Elvin has a hypnotic lilt to his voice. Ooh.
Wait, hypnotic lilt?
Lilt. Okay, come, let's talk about this confession. I mean, okay, so apart from the super fantastic tree, right? You know, the thing about the shrine, right, and the fact that it was mysteriously it had swapped tenants, right, without anyone knowing, right? And that's a very important thing, because whatever occupies a shrine, it has a relationship with who set the shrine up. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a permanent thing. So when the family moves or when the owner moves, there is possibly a shift. Right, and you see a lot of abandoned shrines around. You see that kind of thing, you know. Right. And I've always been very suspicious of abandoned shrines that are not cleared away, because there's a reason why it's still there.
But wouldn't the shrines be like still holy and all that, right?
Not at all. Because it's made holy by the person who it was consecrated for, right? So if I consecrate the shrine for Topekong or whatever, right? Then when the Topekong goes, the holiness goes with him,
Okay.
Right, and then something very unholy can take over. So if you see a shrine sitting under a tree or something and it's empty, but it's not been cleared, it's an Airbnb.
So we assume something sinister is there, I guess.
Yes.
What do you think about this story, Linda?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty true, because you know, I don't know. Sometimes when you pass by some of these shrines, I remember, you know, walking past, and then you sometimes get like, okay, like, it looks like people used to worship in and things like that. But you get there's always like some bad vibe, you know? When it feels like, yeah, you don't know whether it's because it looks abandoned or, you know, or overgrown, but yeah, there is something that, you know, that tells you don't go near, don't touch. That's how I feel anyway, whenever I see things like that. But, you know, if there's no one there to look after it,
It leads me to think about something. So what Linda just said, right? So okay, we're on our Walk with Hantu Changi tour, right? We talk about a certain shrine. Okay, we won't reveal too much, but a certain shrine that was used to contain the spirits that they cleared from a certain building, right? And then later on, we believe that the spirits moved back to the building, which means the shrine is now empty too.
And it's home to other things.
Other things, yeah. So it's like musical chairs, right?
Maybe the rent too high, like, that's why.
Nowadays, Singapore, real estate for Hantu also tough. Elvin, what do you think? Shrines and mangoes, come.
Yeah, I think like if you go back in the old Bedok South, right, you walk across the road, you walk along the road, right? You can see all the different shrines about. And especially if you see some empty ones, then because my dad liked to, you know, kepo a bit to look and see them, right? So as you got closer, you can feel those kind of bad vibes coming from it. We still see like people doing offerings, but you don't see anything inside the shrine at all. So I'm not sure whether
It seems almost as if the kind of thing that will occupy a shrine has a certain sneaky intention, because you know, it is a shrine. It's not just a rock or a house. It's a shrine, which means I will be worshipped if I hide there. right? Mm. So they want this, you know, that they're scheming and a bit manipulative, right? They're very low-key like that, right? You know, they want respect, but they want it they want it dishonestly, right? They're willing.
They're also granting them wishes or whatnot.
So they're willing to go as far as to play God.
Yeah.
Right. To keep the illusion going. We hear a lot of stories of what, you know, yeah, spending your entire time worshipping something and getting blessings from it, and then suddenly finding out, oh no, it's a demon or it's a jinn or it's something else. You know?
Yeah, price to pay, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. So be careful, please, of everything that you are worshipping, right? And find a chance to double check by WhatsApping Eugene. 24-hour spirit verification service, okay?
That's what the ministry is for.
Yeah, exactly. Called,
the spirit is whiskey, is it?
We need a 1-800
Sifu.
Everyone, come share ideas, share stories. If you know anything about Datuk Shrines, not Datuk Shrines, sorry, but abandoned shrines, or if you've come across any in Singapore that Eugene needs to visit before they are gone, okay, please.
What do you think about the mangoes one? I mean, seems
is
a bit...
Wow.
That's a new one to me, you know.
Is the spirit in the shrine sort of the one blessing all these plants, you know, and it sounds really nice. It sounds very elemental, you know. I don't know, right? I don't know whether and why in particular the mango, right? I mean, okay, everything was growing well, but the mango wasn't growing well at first. So that means the green thumbs did not work on the mango. And then suddenly it worked. So I'm wondering what changed, right? Is it just the threat or was something unlocked? You know? Wow. This one is interesting. I wish there were like photographs of this mysterious mango. You know, that was not sour and that changed color in the sun. Wow, not bad. Huh?
Maybe this one is a Peranakan grandma, so that even the plants are so scared.
Yeah.
Eugene testify.
Mango tree, huh? You don't grow flower and fruit. You see what I do to you tomorrow. I cannot chop one time.
I'm so scared.
Okay, Night Owl is sharing. My friend who stay in JB told me her uncle also set up shrine in the bungalow and used it to cheat people's money. Oh, wow. How? Please tell us how. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
How did he use the shrine to cheat money? Just out of interest. Yeah. Not that we're gonna try it or anything. But yeah.
We also got a question for Linda. This is for Joe Keck. Asking on behalf of Alvin, like he say. Linda, are you married or are you available?
Wow.
Married 20 years already.
So I don't get a
hint. Already long taken. Long ago taken.
Is it I'm married 20 years, therefore I'm bored, so now I'm available? Or I'm married 20 years, I'm not taken? So it's
loaded.
We need to be clear with the answer.
That's a loaded question.
This one, I'm afraid.
It's very attached to you.
Oh dear, okay.
So Joe was concerned for Alvin. He's asking for Alvin.
Oh, I see. On behalf of Alvin.
Oh, Joe interested in me, is it?
Joe interested in you, Bula.
No need to worry. Alvin can do his own small talk. So it's all right. It's all right.
In Baldur's Gate.
Hey, baby.
we should have a t-shirt for you. Just nothing. The only design is just, hey, baby, two words. Like, got me up. Hey, baby.
Works on physical and non-physical entities.
Wow.
Ladies of Supernatural Confessions, when you could you let me know in the comment section? I'll put up a poll whether "Hey Baby" would work on you. Let me know. Okay, carry on, guys. Over to you.
They're gonna treat you like a mango tree, okay? Okay, so yeah, please let us know if you have any more thoughts about that one. But meanwhile, we shall move on to our second confession. Yeah, come introduce, Eugene.
So this one is, I don't know, what's our second confession?
This one is the highway.
Oh, this one. Yeah, this one is, wait a minute. Sorry, huh?
You lost it.
No, the thing isn't coming out. Okay, never mind. Okay, it's confessed by Achilles Ares. And
who is in the chat.
Who's
Yay.
In the chat, yes. And he's asking, he says, hey, how can you have a Malaysian story with no North South Highway story? Cannot. So he provided this story because it's something that has happened to him.
Oh.
Now, for the professional narration.
So much pressure, so much pressure.
No, a real pro comes in.
Yeah.
I'm the Walmart version.
Give it
hang
up.
Your head in shame, okay?
11.
Give it up for Linda. Take it away.
All right. Thank you, thank you. So let's get going. So NS Highway Confessions. Thank you, Mr. Policeman. All right, as everyone knows, the North-South Highway is a hotbed for sightings and experiences. Let me tell you something that happened to my uncle on the North-South Highway in the early 1990s. So, my uncle lived in Singapore, but he also owned a small chicken farm near Penang. So, on the weekends, he would drive from Singapore to Penang and back to tend to the farm. You know, in those days, the North-South Highway was not as developed as it was, and of course, driving took much longer. Being the typical Singaporean who wanted to sort of get back fast and go off fast, my uncle would drive at night from Singapore to Penang so he could avoid the traffic jams and speed all the way to Penang. On one of his usual journeys, he was driving to Penang. It was very late at night. Past midnight, my uncle was driving and blasting music to keep himself awake and entertained. Just his music, speeding car, and he always smoked his cigarette to keep him company. Whilst driving, he smelt a whiff of sweet flowers, thinking they was coming from the plantation nearby. So he just ignored it and kept going. Suddenly, he realized his car needed more petrol to push it forward. He ignored this, thinking it was just a case of either a slight uphill or just an old car being moody. This went on for almost half an hour, and he felt a creeping sensation. But he waved this away in his usual youngster attitude. Nothing another cigarette wouldn't resolve. Suddenly, he saw a police car trailing behind him, and its lights were on, signaling him to pull over. My uncle thought, this police guy just want to give me trouble, squeeze a bribe from me. See my Singapore car plate, probably think he can get more lah. Pulling over, he noticed that the police car had stopped much further back from his car than it normally should. The policeman gestured for my uncle to come out of the car and to walk towards him. Trudging annoyingly, thinking about how much he will need to bribe the police officer, my uncle walked towards the police car. As he neared the police car, he could see the police officer staring at my uncle's car. "What's the problem?" my uncle asked the police officer. Without looking at my uncle, the officer replied, "You cannot see her in your car." My uncle looked towards his car, but he couldn't see a thing. The police officer said he had been following my uncle's car for the last 15 minutes and he could see that there was a shadowy white figure hanging to the top of his car. The officer said that it was a common sighting of this part of the North-South Highway, and in some instances, this often lead to road accidents since the car was being followed. "Wow, you lucky tonight, now. Usually when this thing follows a car, it results in a bad accident, you know. Never mind, lah. You follow me and tomorrow morning you take your car." Not wanting to argue with the police, my uncle followed the officer to the police station where he stayed the night. And in the morning, the officer dropped him where he parked his car on the North-South Highway. My uncle offered some money to the officer for watching out for him and for his trouble, but the officer politely refused. Dang, dang, dang.
Nice.
Can I say
yes, I think we want to say the same thing. How awesome is Linda as a Malaysian policeman?
I love how she goes from BBC, you know, Cliff's crisp pronunciation to Singlish like that. Oh my goodness. Usually when I write the narration and all the stories, right, I'll find the ones that you have Singlish inside and I'll pass it to Linda.
A lot of love for your Singlish accent coming from people. Yay!
Yeah. If you guys want to give us a shout out, click the dollar sign there, you know, and put on your comments and, you know, whatever that you want to let us know.
So you can treat this as a nightclub, okay? You can hang garlands on Linda using the dollar sign.
Thank you. Okay?
Wow. Breaking out the Hokkien now.
What they bring out, donating, raise it. flower.
There's a poll up right now, okay? So please submit your answers to the poll. It's almost as important as the presidential election, okay? We need to know, the country needs to know whether you will swoon, ladies, if Alvin Hay babies you, okay? Guys, you can also answer lah. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Guys, girls, entities,
after,
non-entities.
After 6 months, you will try anything.
He doesn't discriminate. All inclusive.
All inclusive, yeah. There's something really classic about this story. It reminds me of that very famous urban legend, right? That has traveled the world, right? You know, about the roof of the car, right? This one is hanging on the roof. I think maybe a month ago when we talked about Sentosa, we had a Miss P on the roof story as well, you know? And then there's the banging on the roof version of it, you know? What do you guys think about this? Is it really an urban legend or is it something that has a real origin?
So, John, there's actually a story that's similar to this.
Mm.
Actually, I got it in one of my notes. So, what happened was that... Yeah, so what happened was that there was a wife and her husband driving along the North-South highway. And then they were also at the same time stopped by a policeman.
Something like Linda.
Yeah, something like Linda. Hey, get out. Before that, the car broke down.
Yes.
And the husband went out of the car to try to figure out what's going on. Then when the policeman came by, he saw what was going on. Then he motioned to the wife to get out of the car and come to him.
Uh-huh.
And told her not to look behind her.
Yes.
So when she started walking to her, she turned back to the policeman. She turned back. Then she saw like a monster on top of the car with the husband's head. Then it was on top of the car.
Classic.
I love this story so much as a kid. You know, every barbecue, every chalet you go to, right? This story will emerge, you know? And I so believed it. I so believed it, right? Because the best urban legends, you know, sound so absolutely true. And then I saw the film Urban Legends.
Mm.
And I realized, oh, wait. You know, if all these frat kids are also telling the same story, then I wonder.
That must be true, right?
Yeah, they, just to add to the story, they actually said this story first came out, I think, the late 90s or something, early 90s, and it was actually on a radio show, so live
radio. Ah, so someone has traced it.
Yeah, they're actually the relative of the girl, you know, of the husband or the wife, I can't remember. And then over the years, the story has been embellished as well, so not just one Pontianak, but three.
So many, yeah.
It's been embellished a few times.
It's a crowd,
so, Linda, you reckon that there was an original incident?
Yes, something to do with, apparently somebody called up a radio show and said he was the relative of the wife or husband, and this actually happened.
Wow.
So that's what I heard, lah.
The Ministry of Supernatural Affairs must track this person down, okay, and verify this, okay?
Yeah.
I think that would be a normal. Great... it's a great gift to the world if we can verify this story. But is there a particular highway that that story is linked to, or is it every highway?
It's the Karak Highway, right? And the Karak Highway is full of different stories as well. I think this is not
accidents
the only one.
And all that, yeah. So there's one about the yellow Volkswagen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it will continuously appear here and there. Then you see driverless and all that. So I'm not sure whether some dude that's playing a prank or, you know.
Driverless car, right?
Driverless car. Tesla.
Trying to put you off the road. Yeah.
It's not the spookiest car to choose, but, you know. So in the episode where we talked about the Karak Highway, I shared an older story because having lived so long, I hear all the old stories. And before the yellow Volkswagen, it was a white Mercedes.
Ooh.
So some of the older folks may remember a very popular story about the white Mercedes that would follow you along the highway. I don't know what it does to you, but it just follows you. You know?
Karak Highway also, is it?
Many highways.
White Mercedes.
Spookier.
Calling out any car brands out there, if you like to sponsor Supernatural Confessions, we will turn your brand into one of the urban legends. So, you know, it's good for marketing. La.
So, as long as you have a roof.
Elon Musk, good. If you're watching.
As long as your roof is good for banging on, okay? You must have that kind of right roof. Okay?
Any cars sound. Will be good for banging on, la. Don't worry.
Banging on top or banging under the roof?
Okay? Hey, baby. Okay. Thank you, Jacqueline, for your generous donation. Lovely voice, Linda. Thank you. Yay.
Thank you. Yay.
First garland of the night.
I need to have the button on the tiao hua on the pep, 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 pep.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice. Okay, David Chiang is saying, do you know that the hill road to Genting is guarded by a giant entity which roams in the night? It was rumored that anyone who wins a windfall at the casino may encounter his fate with this fella. Wow. The hill road to Genting. Wow. Okay, let us know if those, especially the Malaysians in the chat, let us know if you've heard of this giant entity that tries to get his percentage from the winners. Okay. Wow. Garak Highway is the same as North South Highway, says Chua Lincoln. No,
it's
right.
It's just north of KL. It's just north of KL. So I think it's a different.
Garak Highway is different. The North South is Singapore, Malaysia, all the way up through. Is from KL to Pahang.
Yeah, just up north.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Ezekiel says drive maybe, no issue. Ghost also selective. Maybe they don't want to take. No class. Ghosts also got class, okay?
Okay. Here's an
interesting... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, Observer, interesting comment. Some tollways, if you go inside, you will feel goosebumps for no reason. If you feel hot, it means they're approaching you, but your body's immune system is reacting. Tollways and wooded roads. Okay. You're talking about those like small side lanes and all that, right? And I'm wondering if the whole Orang Bunyan sort of tradition applies to these small forested roads as well, because these were cut through woodland, right? So you're kind of driving through Bunyan territory, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder, when you go off the roads, you know, is it the Bunyan that are playing with you also, you know? And maybe they learn to drive also.
Could be. I mean, after so many years, they better learn how to drive. But not bad. They're driving Mercedes, Volkswagen, all that. I mean, got a bit of place.
Don't know whether they switch to electric car, right?
Yeah.
You want Tesla tailgating you.
Wow. So, Eugene, how? Confirm hantu, huh? On this one?
This one, confirm hantu lah. But the one from Genting down on the hill, that one, I think maybe it's just the bandits lah. They dress up as hantu. They try to rob you.
I haven't heard about this monstrous entity thing along that stretch.
It sounds interesting because, I mean, you're talking about the hills around Genting, right? We're talking about old forested territory, right? So, yeah, this is where all the old hantu that we seldom hear about in Singapore, right? Might drift around.
We should have our own hantu spin-off. The hills have hantu.
Wow.
Like the hills have eyes.
The hills are still alive. Like that. Speaking of old hantu, I had a question for Linda, right?
Okay.
So you said that, you shared that your dad had an encounter with a hantu gala.
Oh, this is a club. This is a good story, I think, because this was the very first one of the first stories I heard when I was a little girl.
How old were you when you heard it?
I guess about 6 or 7.
Wow, okay.
So, you know, obviously my dad used to live around, I don't know whether you are familiar with, like, around the Simei area, there's an area called Harvey Avenue. And it's kind of like, Old Bedok, between Old Bedok and what is now Simei, there's this area called Harvey Avenue. Right. And when my dad was, I can't remember how old he was quite young, I guess. You know, he was a kid, it was after it was raining, he was playing outside. And then, you know, he saw, like, what hantu gala is, like, really tall. He saw these two sticks just walking towards him on this road, coming towards him on this road. And, you know, he looked up, but he couldn't really see the end of it. It was just like fog and stuff. Mm. And obviously, you know, he was with his friend, like his best friend at the time. And so they all like, alamak, cabut! So they just obviously ran the other way. Now, the strange thing is, my sister had a friend from her school, primary school, who moved to the same road, okay? And we're talking about 20, I don't know how many, 30 years later, let's say 25 to 30 years later, right?
Mm.
And so this little girl is also coming back for school again after the rain, you know, when it's, you know, when after the rain, you have, it's still a bit cloudy and a bit foggy, right?
Yeah.
And yes, she lives on Harvey Avenue as well. And then she sees exactly the same thing coming towards her.
The Hantugala.
So this was like the first story. And then having that confirmation again, it's like, wow, sure, this one confirmed. This one, Ada, there's something on that road. So
Ada, sorry, there's like, something.
On Harvey Avenue.
Is the avenue still there?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't been to Harvey Avenue.
Harvey Avenue. Is it, how do you spell that?
Yeah. Eastsiders,
H-A-R-V. Is somebody's name, H-A-R-V-E-Y. Like, I have no idea what this is.
Go,
so the girl saw this, I guess, about the mid-80s. Still there, Mid-80s, you know. So sorry, you live down there, I scare you.
Still have.
Still there.
If you're in Simei, please check, okay? Let us know. Okay, take photo of Hantugala, please.
So now,
Is it because last time Simei used to be Malay Kampong? Then
partly, I guess. Yeah, because at the time, my father's time, it was all his friends, they live in atap houses, right?
Mm.
Kampung sort of thing.
Yeah.
So and then Chinese cemetery.
His friend lived there, I think it was all suddenly modernized with, you know, like what it is today. I imagine terrace houses and all that. Nah.
Yeah, you imagine the poor Hantugala now, poor thing, right? Like nowhere to hide, right? It's like
all
the trees are in a neat row, don't know how to hide.
Homeless gala, Arzan.
Yeah, poor thing, man, the Hantugala. If you want to know more about the Hantugala, shameless plug time, you have to come on the Walk with Hantu Changi tour because Eugene will tell you a life hack, how to survive the Hantugala encounter, okay?
Yeah,
it's not always safe to just scream, chabot, and then run, okay? If you are Lin does that, you might just escape. But on the other hand, his legs are longer than yours, so how like that, right?
Osebo was saying, Hantugala, to run from it, you need to run in a zigzag, right? That's what I was told when I was young. Well, Osebo, if you get a chance, come down to Walk with Hantu Changi, where I will tell you how to defeat it. Don't just run away from it.
Without having to run at all. It's a very,
just
very
run, chill. Just run faster than the slowest guy, can't really.
Run usually, faster than your best friend.
I go walk with Hantu with Jonathan. I think I possibly can outrun him.
Thanks. I'm immortal. Okay, I'll pack up with him and chase you together.
Josebo has another one. You want to share it out? He says, my uncle was Malaysian before he got Singapore citizenship. He traveled from Malaysia to Singapore very often and he had once got trapped on the Malaysian roads before and he couldn't get out of the stretch, which is like the ghost close eyes thing. He just kept driving.
I heard this one.
He got out of his car, peed on the front tire and then was able to get out. So
what's the story behind what's the story behind the peeing?
Oh, you just have to leave the shoe behind.
There's a few things. Leave shoe behind, cut the plant and turn it upside down. And my favorite is just put on your pants and you do the helicopter with your wheelie. So I think peeing probably does both because you have to pull down your pants, show your penis, and at the same time pee. So I think it's a 2-for-1. It probably works best.
Or maybe you can do the helicopter while peeing, so you get a sprinkler effect.
Peeing, you have to turn the plant upside down at the same time.
And lose a shoe behind also, don't forget.
Yeah, put the shoe also, don't forget.
Linda, the policeman, will come after you. Okay? Okay, I want to share this story that GF00, they were chatting about a mall. I don't know which mall, but so they said that the old Kemayan Mall was never complete. There's a story that the family went by the mall and saw that the mall is having an opening celebration and was packed with shoppers. So they went there to shop also. After finishing the shopping, they went... After finishing their shopping... I scrolled too far. They went to a relative's house and was told that the mall is abandoned and they found that what they have bought are all leaves.
Yo.
Oh, this is the one at JB, right? The mall at
is
JB.
This a Kemayan Mall?
It's called Kemayan City. So the name of the mall is Paradigm Mall.
Paradigm Mall.
I know that mall pretty well.
It's abandoned right now. Yeah, it's quite deserted now.
No, Paradigm Mall is still around. I used to go there, watch movies, ice skate and everything.
But are you sure you did? Though. Are you sure you did?
Oh my goodness. Maybe if I go there now, it's all deserted. And
you check all the receipt, all leaves.
Then it's also got taxi story. Passenger flag. Then taxi driver see a passenger disappear, that kind of thing. Maybe passenger never pay money, then just run.
Yeah, Vicky is asking, can't you hit the ding-dong of the Hantu Gala with a gala so you don't have to run away? I guess if you're the kind of person who's walking around with a gala in the middle of the night, then sure, give it a try, right? You can.
Depends what's longer, the gala or... Never mind.
It's like playing piñata with the poor Hantu Gala. I think that might annoy him.
David Chang has a theory about Hantu Gala. I say it could be a Nephilim. Back in the old days, there were a lot of giants around. And especially Hantu Gala is usually encountered around waterfall in the rainforest. So he felt it was probably the Nephilims who perished in the Great Flood and now roams as disembodied entities.
Maybe it's the Hantu Gala who's at Genting trying to get a share of the money. Right. Joe Keck is saying, I once saw a pair of slippers left in an empty car park lot. The driver cannot get up the car park, is it?
Oh dear.
Cash card, no value.
Hey, I have been seeing like random like single slippers everywhere. Does that mean someone was trying to escape?
Hey, maybe, you know? Maybe.
Yeah, sometimes you see just a slipper in the middle of the road. Or no, like this one, the other one. The one that ghost cover the car's eyes and then cannot get out. Interesting, huh? Now you're explaining a lot of things that I see every day.
Next time I see a shoe left behind, I know lah, someone got lost here, then leave the shoe behind.
Yeah. Well, you better be careful lah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, but which shoe lah? Put the shoe there, then Hantu Gala don't take.
Because they all have Cinderella fantasies lah. Wow, okay. Let us know if you know anything about this mall, the Paradigm Mall. Okay, if you've heard any stories about it. Right? I love the idea of that everything you bought is leaves. That seems to suggest that it's a forest spirit that you're playing with, or a nature spirit, you know. Mr. David is saying, what's the thing about leaving slippers? Is there a reason, Eugene? Come, Minister, would like to
address this point. That's Linda's point. That's the first time I heard of it as well. So Linda, you could help us explain the law behind that.
Yeah, what does the slipper do?
I don't know. It's just a very old story, I guess. I heard like it's always something, you know, the older generation always tells you one of the things to do. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's in a way, it's like, I guess, maybe the concept of like confusing them, I suppose, where you're actually going. Maybe like, you know, when you leave your slippers, you know, like in your hotel room, you mess it up. Maybe it's the same concept.
There's a connection to some other pantangs, right? I'm wondering if leaving one slipper behind suggests that you are still there and then you can get away with your other slipper.
That's,
you know, hop.
That's a very good idea, except that there's the 50% chance that they might be following your other slipper.
Oh, damn.
Or maybe they assume that they scared of a slipper because you see them being used as to punish people, right? So they see a slipper, they get...
Okay, so that... that is the
you see the Peranakan grandma in the slipper.
Peranakan version of
yes,
slipper.
Yes. Yeah. Ayo.
That's why the mango tree also started growing.
So tonight is all about slippers, okay, guys? If you know any pantang about slippers, please let us know. Okay. All right. RGB by Grace say, we used to go to Paradigm weekly. Our favorite supermarket is there. Not bad, because you can pay with leaves, so it's quite affordable.
That's true, lah.
Not bad. Hantus are scary but stupid. Hey, don't let it say.
Somebody's gonna visit you soon, man.
Cheng. So why that Cheng was so iconic was Juju Bae came on a walk with Hantu with us, and then we were telling her stories and everything. Then she, out of the blue, like, just imagine very tense silence as John and I tell the ghost story. Then we had a very wonderful punchline. So we leave it hanging. Of the sinister feel in the air. And Juju Bae goes, Cheng, Cheng, Cheng. And they just stuck with us after that.
Okay, Mr. David has an interesting thing. Because I heard about a girl who lost part of her soul when she left her shoe at Old Changi. Okay, are you making a dad joke, first of all? Because it's not soul. Okay, but okay, I lost part of her soul when she left her shoe at Old Changi Hospital.
Mr. David might
be right.
I think
that's a dad joke.
No, because I've heard of a story like that about a girl who ran out and she got one of her shoe left behind, and actually she was possessed. She felt really sick, and then when she went to a temple and they did the whole 1-800 Sifu thing, Sifu said, what do you leave behind? She says, oh, I ran out and left my shoe. Say, go back and get it because the ghost through the other shoe was able to follow you back.
Oh.
So are you supposed to leave your slipper behind then?
So one theory
is not supposed to, lah. Yeah, you're not supposed
so
to, lah, right?
Both theories are, you know.
Wow, contradicting, yeah. Wow.
So why don't you leave your shoe behind and let us know through a poll next week how many of you have ghosts following you back?
Always carry a spare pair of slippers and leave that one behind.
Give both, lah. Let it have both. Like you think you bring one back for what? You're not going to use the one, right? Just leave both for the ghosts.
Just
ghost,
buy
la.
The cheap Taiseng ones, ah. Slipper Kennedy.
What if you leave both, then you cannot possess by two spirits? How like that?
No, because the spirit will use the one shoe to follow the other shoe back. So you leave both shoes behind.
Oh.
Maybe okay, leave maybe... one here, then leave one there.
Oh, trick them.
That will confuse them. That will throw it far, far away. Yeah. Okay. David Chang says, leave a pair of upturned spiked slippers, like those worn by Kavadi devotees during Thai Pusam, and no ghost there to play on them. Spiked slippers. Okay. Mark Shippo has the best slipper comment of the night. All right. Very relevant. He says, I always lost my slippers in the foam parties. Was so fun then, missing foam parties.
Yeah, I lost a few at foam parties as well.
Only the slippers?
I'll keep it as slippers.
Oh, that was all you were wearing.
He lost his virginity there too.
Lost dignity, lost slippers.
Okay, I'm gonna end the poll for Elvin's poll very soon. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, will you soon? If Elvin, hey baby you, we'll end the poll after this little message. Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh, I get into
trouble.
Yay. Hey.
Can try. What's the last one again, Cole? Let me open.
Okay, wait. Poll. Ending poll.
Dixon. Okay, come.
What's the poll? What's the result?
End poll.
Results. The Hey yes, Baby poll.
Wow, Elvin, you got chance, you know. 52% say they are not going to soon. 47 actually say yes, it will work on them. So you got chance, very high chance.
Oh, yeah.
So the Hey Baby really would work actually.
Those 52% all haters.
No lah, 47% is the guys lah. 52% was all the girls.
I don't know. I'm gonna go. I mean, I'll do you one up. Okay. At the meetup tomorrow for Supernatural Confessions in KL, every single lady. SC fan who walks in, I'm gonna go, hey baby, and I'm gonna try.
Let me know lah.
I'm gonna track to see how whether it works or not.
But are you as smooth as the operator? Different.
Oh, that's different. Oh, Elvin, maybe you record your voice, hey baby, then I will just.
Yeah. Let's use that. I think that the starting of every episode, you know, in the opening intro, you have like, then you must, hey baby. Yes.
Your supernatural confessions, hey baby.
Yes, and that will work straight away. 400. Okay.
Eugene did not vote. Okay,
come. What's our last confession?
This one, our last confession is. Ooh, this one is quite a creepy one.
Yeah, it's a good one. This one, yes.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
This one has, I think, Port Dickson is a place I've not been in a very, very long time.
I've never been.
Right, it's a beach. There used to be a very nice beach over there, and this one is also a story from Eunice. So Eunice is really our Malaysian representative. And when I read this story, I was like, "Ooh, I get the heebie-jeebies for this one." Linda, you like it? And now, to lend her voice to Port Dickson Bungalow, Linda Hayden.
All right, here we go again. Port Dickson Bungalow. We used to arrange for company vacations during weekends. My younger colleagues there were a fun bunch. We would rent bungalows in Port Dickson or Genting for weekends and have lovely barbecues. There was this particular bungalow in Port Dickson that... just thinking about it just gives me the creeps. It was close to our favorite bungalow that we normally rented. Whenever we went barbecuing or played mahjong in the living room, I always felt people were staring at us from that particular bungalow. But being me, I brushed it aside. Sometimes I'm like a, you know, bleu sotong. There's one weekend I couldn't go because my ex-boyfriend then was down with measles. This round, more people came because it was a long weekend and my colleague's cousins also wanted to go. So they rented another bungalow, which is the one that gave me the creeps. Two of the girls that joined this particular round of visits to Pop Dukson were my colleague's identical twin cousins. They were fair, long-haired, very sweet, very beautiful looking. Being sisters, of course, they shared one room. After dinner, the older twin said that she was tired. She wanted to rest and decided, you know, that the next morning they could go for a walk, perhaps, in the nearby beach. So the rest of the party continued drinking, playing mahjong, and some even went to Pak Tor nearby. But at around 1 a.m., the younger twin decided to, you know, go to sleep as well. So whoever that was staying in that bungalow must accompany her to open the doors as the older twin had taken the other set of keys. After 30 minutes or so, everyone heard a loud piercing scream from the house. Everyone rushed over thinking, hey, was there a thief? Or maybe somebody Hamsap had gone in. When they arrived, the room of the twins was locked. They had to use the master keys to unlock the room. When they finally got in, the younger twin was in tears in one corner, while the older twin looked drugged and unaware of her surroundings. She was really, really groggy. So they packed the sisters off and squeezed them into the other bungalow. According to the younger twin, she went in and saw her sister sleeping. So she went to shower and she climbed into bed. But she then felt oddly cold. She turned over to her sister and said, Titie, I'm going to switch off the aircon, okay? Then her sister got off to turn off the aircon. But there in bed, she saw another sister sleeping beside who she thought was her twin sister. So who was that lying down with her twin sister? This is when the younger twin started to scream her head off. She rushed to open the door, but the door couldn't be opened. That's when one of the sisters sat up and slowly got up to walk towards her. The younger twin screamed and screamed. And when everyone else from the party came over, the thing escaped out the window. The older twin was asleep all the time and she was totally clueless. The next day, no one had the mood to finish the vacation. The sisters came back home and immediately went to look for a temple medium. According to the medium, the youngest twin's energy is very yin, so spirits generally latch onto her easily. The younger twin is still scared of going to Port Dickson to this very day. I think the bungalow is still there as we cycled past the place a few years back. Wow, thank goodness I didn't go. I would have just like literally shat in my pants.
Jane,
I would do the same thing.
Okay, before we discuss this very interesting story, a quick shout out to a very late comer but very welcome, KK Heng. Hello,
hey,
hello,
hey,
welcome.
Hey.
Wow, what time already? Were you helping the president to get elected? Wow, okay.
Imagine Alliance has a very interesting plot twist.
Yeah. I saw. Okay, come, Eugene, you share.
Imagine Alliance, say they were conceived as triplets, but one did not survive. The one that she saw was the ghost of the deceased twin or triplet.
If this was a Thai horror movie, that would totally be the plot. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
And it would be a very sad plot because here's your sister come back to find you, help you off the aircon, everything, and then you scream and scream and scream, then she has to climb out the window.
That's why I'm so ungrateful. Actually, similar to that short story, you know, where the father sees the son scared on the bed.
Uh-huh.
And the son tells him that, hey, there's a monster under the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when the dad looks under the bed, he sees the other son there. He's like, wait, what are you doing here?
Are you sure you didn't say, hey, baby? No. Okay, so come, what's your verdict? What was going on in that room?
Who wants to go first?
First come, first,
first come, first serve. Okay, like, while you're two are thinking, I will go for this one.
I know, that case of double ganger, right? Sort of thing, isn't it?
Mm.
In a way.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But double ganger caused by or coming from, because double ganger is a trick used by many different types of hantu or spirits.
This
right?
is so, in Port Dickson, you know, being in Malaysia. I'm gonna go with a jinn.
It's been a long time since anything has been a jinn. Yeah. So,
it's a resort, and you know what? Supernatural Confessions and Ministry of Supernatural Affairs talk about resort. If you want to know the lore behind it, you're gonna come for the walk with hantu. But in a nutshell, it's a place where you have confluence of yin and yang energy, and it's what attracts a lot of these spirits and entities to a place like this. When you have a place like a resort, and especially a big bungalow, what could happen is sometimes you may find that these ghosts, they just want to, how should I say that? They kind of just want to be amongst people. And when they're amongst people, they will take your form just to feel part of it because they don't want to scare somebody. And he did not expect the other sister to spot her. I did not feel that this was a malicious spirit. I feel this is a spirit that wants to be inclusive.
So it's considered a harmless. Included. So it's considered a harmless entity.
Because the entity did not harm in any way. She screamed, she tried to run out, and then the entity got up to walk towards her. I could imagine the entity was trying to do the whole, hey, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, I'm just here. But she sees the entity coming up to her like that. She's like, ah! And then she ran away.
Because what the medium said later on, right, was also that the younger sister's energy was very yin, right? Mm. So the fact that she went back to the bungalow alone, went to sleep alone, that moment would have been the perfect time, right? The right level of welcoming energy for the any entity to pop in and go, come, I will join you, and then start to, you know, have a living moment, lah, right?
Correct. Just to feel what it's like to be alive. Mm. That's my take.
Yeah, a vicarious living moment, right? Okay.
So, like, these spirits that want to latch onto you, do they want to, like, possess you in that sense, or is it purely for attention?
No, there was no possession. If they wanted to possess, the spirit would have possessed the sister already and not appear as a separate entity. So, right, this one is really just wanting to hang around, just be part of it. And I don't think he expected to be seen, really.
Hmm.
Nothing in that story shows that she was haunting, she was acting out of form. It's only when the other sister started screaming, then she got up and walked towards her. Otherwise, no, I there was no other clues that showed she was trying to do anything.
I mean, I've heard of many doppelganger sort of situations which are so simple and everyday and almost pointless. You know, the ghost has no other intention than to just be someone for a moment. And somehow one element in that is always to interact with someone and fool them as if they want to see whether my disguise passed or not, you know? So like back in my army camp, right, Beach Road camp, right, there was one particular office that had a very active doppelganger. And they would say that almost without fail, whoever is on MC or on leave that day, that's the form it would take.
Which army camp was this?
This is Beach Road camp opposite Road camp. Raffles Hotel. Okay. Yeah, so one office in particular...
The officers before, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, it was also the Singapore Volunteer Battalion back then. So, so if the S1 was missing or the chief clerk was missing that day, that's the form it would take. And they would just, the entity would just pop its head in, say hi, and then move off.
NParks also have that, you know? NParks officers, a lot of them in the nature reserve area, the staff would say they would see their colleagues appearing, but the colleague was not supposed to be there for that day.
Right.
Or they see a colleague come in at 6 a.m. and you will greet the colleague, only to see the real colleague coming in at 9 a.m.
Yeah, correct. So they just seem to want to do routine things. You know, maybe this is something that they miss, right? And it is a little bit of a thrill for them to, you know, just be living again and do boring things like make coffee. You know, that kind of thing.
Imagine after you die, that's all you do. I mean...
Well, I don't know what else there is to do. There's no Netflix on the other side. So it's like, what do you think?
You said these are like classical shapeshifters. Huh? Are these like classical shapeshifters in a sense?
I don't think it's a type of entity with this gift. I think it's a gift that I think many entities can
default
make use of. you know, right? That any spirit, maybe it's a low level ability, you know, that they can do, and maybe they can only hold it for a brief moment, like, you know, they can't do it for long, you know. And maybe it's easier if it's someone they have observed, right?
Right, right.
You know, like a transformer, right? You must see the car first, then you can be the car, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, so if this thing has been squatting in that office, observing people, you know, then it's picked up all these, you know? Yeah, I mean, we don't usually associate shape-shifting with hantu, right? Because shape-shifting is a cryptid kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right, it's a biological ability rather than a supernatural ability.
Yeah.
You know,
KK mentioned something about a doppelganger for his to take over his overnight multiple duties in the past, and he lost. Ha ha! But KK, there's actually something in the Malay law that you could use. right.
You all could, together now.
Hantu Raya. That's what the old folks would use to be in multiple places at the same time.
Yeah, so the Hantu Raya can be used to mimic the boss, mimic the bomo or the employer, right? To do duties for you, to go and go on double dates with you.
Yes, that's what the Hantu Raya is for, is to take over the role of the husband and to be with the wife. Or as some famous stories was that the Hantu Raya would be seen at Hajj, or one of them would be seen at Hajj, the other one would be seen in the village.
Oh.
Or the Hantu Raya is also used as a form of alibi when you're committing crime. And you said, I'm not where you thought I was. I was actually here. And for Bomos who have passed away, the Hantu Raya then take on the role of the husband to pleasure the wife.
Wow. Okay.
I saw the Philippine law, the same thing, right? Philippine, the Tik Balang.
Oh, does it have this same ability also?
Yeah, it's some shifting ability too, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see a court case. I want to read the notes of a court case where they try to claim that the alibi can be debunked because you have a Hantu Raya. CSI Hantu. Wow. Okay. I mean, what is the intention of a spirit that lies in bed next to the twin? You know, to me, it's either and just sleeping, right? It's not trying to do anything to her. You know, so it is. It's just it could suggest that you just want to be close, right? Which leans towards the I'm your dead sister, right? Kind of thing. I just want to, you know, be in bed with you. Like I would be if I was alive, you know. On the other hand, you know, I don't know whether it was leading to something else. The haunting had just begun. You know, whether later on during the night, if it had not been discovered, where would this have gone?
Oh, check out Lithium 88.
Ah. Right. What if the doppelganger is not a hantu, but a rift in the space-time thingy that for a few seconds allows you to see a parallel universe? So to see a good illustration of this this effect, Ju-on, right? Ju-on 2, right? Where some of the ghosts that you see in the house are actually themselves later on or earlier on, you know? And you don't find out until later in the film.
Interstellar. You know?
Yes. that's an interesting possibility.
In Brunei,
especially since the ghosts look like her, right? So yeah, why not?
Yeah.
In Brunei, this entity is called a Kalindahu.
Kalindahu. Oh, Kalindahu.
I learned something new today.
Okay.
Kalindahu?
Speaking of Kalindahu, what would you do, Linda, if you were the sister in that room, right, who had just gone in and saw your sister come out and switch off the thing and you know? Would you have screamed?
I probably would have been a little bit quiet first to see, like, is it my imagination, right? Because, like, you know, I'm the sort of person to, like, was it my imagination? Am I seeing? Because my eyesight is really bad now, okay?
So, okay.
And then to check whether I'm seeing things and then... Then later, of course, you know, if I obviously see properly that it's like two people, okay, then start to on the light first, then scream. Yeah, of course, yes.
Is it more horrifying or less horrifying that the form it takes is your own? Because it's identical twin, right? You know?
Yeah.
So is that would it make it less scary?
And I think it's more horrifying if taking it actually, you know, looks like you, I think. It's the shock, right? You don't kind of, you know. Expect, I think that's obviously the more horrifying thing. It's like, what the hell is that? Because I'm here, and then this thing's there. It's like, oh my god,
existential
definitely
panic.
Definitely, yeah, this is like, oh, just give me the heebie-jeebies. Yes.
Oh, I like the twist version. So the one that went into the room is the one that's dead.
Oh.
So actually both twins went to sleep early already. The one that stayed out to party. They find her body on the beach. The
plot
next
twist.
Morning.
Wow. But I think if I encountered something like that, I'll see it more like a paranormal incident than supernatural.
Then you'll be like, hey baby, three times.
I'll be like, hey man, are you like from the another dimension or universe, that kind of thing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I'll always say, hey baby.
Yeah, okay.
Our resident dead joker.
Glitch in the matrix, though, you know? Glitch in the matrix.
I've seen more as that than a supernatural event.
Mm.
That's true. Yeah, because the appearance of it doesn't seem supernatural, except that they're in a bungalow and they're thinking spooky things, lah.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. If it happened in a more sort of sanitized place, you know, it may not be so creepy. Okay, yes, dead joke time. Come, Jason.
That's Jason, our resident dead joke generator. What's okay? I'm gonna ask. I think Linda, you're not looking at the chat group, are you? The chat.
Okay. Eugene, read for us.
What's a Malaysian ghost favorite dessert?
You have 10 seconds to guess.
Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding.
Hint hint. It is a Malaysian dessert.
Ta-da! It's boo bo cha cha. Thank you for that, Jason.
And he also says, have a safe journey filled with many happy moments and beautiful memories.
I'm thinking, right, if I go to a hotel or a resort with my partner, and then I walk in at night and I see two of them on the bed.
Well. I mean, you got to take your chances, right?
Jackpot!
I mean, like, bucket list check.
Hey, wait, but you're going to Malaysia with John tomorrow, right?
Oh, so if you see two of me, oh no, okay.
We have extra host.
Hey, baby.
Anything reply? Elvis reply to any quotes he see. Chick Poon come out. Hey, baby. Penanggal. Hey, baby.
Two Johns there, just hey, baby, try your luck. Huh? I mean, threesome's a threesome, right?
True, very true. Wow. Okay. So, there's a lot of doppelganger check. Wait, I want to see. Oh, okay. Someone's got the Chinese words for doppelganger, which I cannot read. Wow. I need Han Yupin. Okay,
all of us cannot be Chinese.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. English translation.
No.
Wait, Li Chiu Kui. Li Chiu Kui. Li Chiu Kui.
We don't know the tone. Yeah, it could be one of those. All we know is the Kui is right. Okay, so it could be anything. Please give us the numbers if you can. But okay, that's useful. That will help. Okay. It is said that harm will befall you if you see your own doppelganger. That's the European tradition.
Ah, it means right? You're about to die.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I want to check. Okay, this is nothing to do with my age, right? Because I'm ageless. But does anyone out there remember a book that used to be popular a long time ago called The Osborne Book of Ghosts?
Yes.
It was an A4 size book, quite thin, right?
I got the three editions at home. I got
that's precious. Oh yes. Man. Okay, because I learned all about doppelganger and all these things from that book. Yeah, it was the beginner's guide to all the vocabulary. Wow, it was awesome.
Yes.
I remember this one.
And that's where they introduced the doppelganger as something that foretells your death. Right, yes. And the picture they had in there was really spooky because the story that came with it was he saw his doppelganger outside his house in the garden carrying a coffin towards the house.
Yes, yes, I remember that one.
I remember the image. All of us. Oh man, yeah.
Ooh. Okay, got a pronunciation already.
What?
Li is second. Chiu is first one. Li Chiu Kui.
How come you got the number you still read wrong? Okay. Li Chiu Kui.
Li Chiu Kui.
Li Chiu Kui.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, I must find out. Let us know if you know any of the Chinese traditions regarding a doppelganger, right? And what their intentions are, you know? Okay, so I tell you, since so many of us remember this image of a doppelganger with a coffin, right?
Yeah.
And we've just shared it tonight. So we've sort of re-energized the memory in everyone's minds. Mm-hmm. Right? So isn't it likely that the next time someone sees something spooky, their mind will jump to this image?
Of the one
we have just brought it right to the top of their Rolodex of spiritual images. You know, and this is how stories and sightings spread, because they take the shape that you are ready to see. Right? So the next doppelganger you see will be carrying a coffin. You know, because that image has come back. You know, I mean, we have to acknowledge the fact that we are very, very good at giving patterns to things that we cannot understand. Right? And the patterns come from whatever is floating in the pool, right? You know?
Yeah. Is that what you call a taupa, right? Some people say that's what you call a taupa.
Yes, a taupa. Oh.
So what's that? What's a taupa?
Not taupa. I think they can also call it tulpa.
Tulpa, yes. Maybe pronunciation, yes.
Yeah.
No, what's that? I still don't know.
It's, come on, Linda.
It's like something, you know, if you have a collective thought, like everybody thinks the same thing, it actually comes to life.
Oh, there's a word for
thought form. A thought form,
yes.
Oh. Sort of like a astral projectionist, but not really astral projection.
Yeah. Which is sort of like Taobao also. Lah. Yeah. If so many people want to buy this thing, suddenly it will be available to buy.
That's how manifest, right? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
To manifest it through thought, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we were just talking about it recently, Eugene, on the last couple of episodes, right? That you very much believe that a lot of things are shaped by mass belief.
Collective
right?
belief, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Correct. You know, so, and these stories and these images that so many people share is one way that they spread, right? Why do you think that all these hantu look so alike? Because everyone's got the same image of the long dress, long hair. You know, it's so universal that it's hard for hantu to not look like that. Because everyone stubbornly wants to see that, you know, and perhaps the only people who can see beyond the stereotypical filter are people who have the eye, you know, who really have a sensitivity and do not expect the predictable image. Then they can maybe see something closer to its real form. But everyone else with low level ability, you will straight away filter, white dress, filter, long hair, filter, you know.
So that's what I reckon. How do you spell that, Linda? I'm trying to find the word.
Tulpa.
T-U-L-P-A.
T-U-L-P-A. Oh, okay. So now I got a new word for my vocabulary.
Hey, tulpa.
We got 5 minutes.
I see through you.
We got 5 minutes left before our featured confession for
tonight. What is that tonight? Tell us.
Tonight is... Look at this man.
Wow.
Hey, baby. That's Ghost King right there from Penang. So shout out to all our Penang Knights in the chat, in our Facebook, not Facebook, YouTube stream.
YouTube. Yeah.
So Grace and I went down to Penang in June and we interviewed this guy. It was a very difficult conversation to have because he speaks no English. I speak no Penang, Hong Kong. And I just speak in English to Grace, who will then convert my English to Chinese to his assistant, who will convert Grace's Chinese to Hokkien to Ghost King.
Oh,
and then
God.
Round back to me. So I'm not sure how much of what I recorded was actually. You know, they talk a lot, right? Then by the time it comes to me, it's like, yeah, Ghost King said this. I'm like, no, I'm sure he said more than that.
Pass the messages.
Chinese
telephone.
Literally,
So check out that one. It's 11:45. I it was painful to edit, so hopefully you guys love it. I did a dubbing lah. I was the one who
you did a dubbing.
I did a dubbing. Yeah, so
okay, I'm looking forward to that one. All right, man. So time to round up. Eugene, come.
Oh. Thank you, Achilles. Aries, isn't it interesting that entities at the first instant take the form that is familiar and almost real? Yes, because
just like angels, right?
I mean, if their aim is communication, then you know there's nothing to be gained by being something foreign and distracting or disturbing.
Yeah,
you want to disarm us first, but it's similar if they are
if their intention is malevolent, because it's also a sneaky way to gain our trust. Mm. So familiar does not mean safe. Huh? Mm. It could be either way, all right?
Okay. To wrap up the show today, I'm going to use a quote from a Malaysian host on Supernatural Confessions last time. This is a throwback to Kim. And he would always end off the show saying, "Just because you cannot see doesn't mean it's not there."
You sound like Dracula. "I want to suck your blood."
Okay, come, last words, last words, last comments, last advice. Elvin, Linda?
Hello. Put me on the spot here, man.
You got no excuse. You've been narrating, you've been on Supernatural Confessions for so many years already. You know how we end. You got no excuse.
Can I,
go first, Elvin.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, nice seeing everyone again. I was always behind the scenes, but now, as a guest co-host, it was good. This was a very good episode to do with the rest of the gang. And
hey, baby.
See, wow, 47% have swooned.
Oh, panties wet and all.
Why are the guys wearing panties? Okay, yeah, anyway, yeah, moving on.
free war, man.
Okay, Linda, come.
Well, always believe they're watching you.
Wow.
That's very ominous. Very ominous. I'm going to give practical advice. Next time you see a doppelganger, call your parents and ask, "Did I lose a twin?"
Oh, very practical.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody. We'll see you guys next Friday. And for the Malaysian fans, we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, baby.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.